Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. At 15.7 million fish, the Naknek-Cuijack has surpassed its forecasted total run. Three rivers across the bay have passed the upper end of their escapement goals. Ugashik had its last opener on July 8th. That hauled in an above-average haul, but the district hasn't fished since, and it's still more than 300,000 short of its minimum escapement. It's Friday, July 19th. I'm your host, Izzy Ross. Coming up on the show, KDLG's Sage Smiley spoke to some salmon experts about the long-term effects of consistently warmer waters in Bristol Bay and beyond.
Because juvenile salmon are growing faster in fresh water, they're actually spending less time in the lakes before they migrate to the ocean.
Also tonight, at the G20 summit last month, the U.S. suspended its threat of tariffs on Chinese goods imported to the U.S., a list that included Alaska seafood processed in China, but leaders did not offer a clear path forward. We take a look at where Alaska Seafood stands with a partner of Silver Bay Seafoods.
You still have China with high tariffs on U.S. seafood, and you still have the threat of the U.S. imposing tariffs on Chinese-made goods, i.e., secondarily processed Alaska salmon. So I'm not at ease at all.
With some districts still seeing a steady run here in late July, three rivers have surpassed the top of their escapement range. The Wood, the Igigik, and the Naknek are all at least 100,000 fish over the ADFNG's goal maximum for escapement. We hear from managers about what that means for the district's fleets. That and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's kick things off with the numbers. On the west side, the Nooshigak harvest has slowed down. The fleet hauled in 139,000 fish yesterday for a total of 14.5 million. Escapement was at 53,700 for a district total of 2.7 million, continuing past its forecasted escapement of 2 million. The Wood River had an escapement of 37,800 for a cumulative of 2 million, continuing past its upper end goal of 1.8 million. Nooshigak River escapement was just under 11,000 for a total of 663,800. And the Agushik is still very low. Only 5,000 fish escaped yesterday for a total of 54,800. The lower end goal there is 150,000. In Togiak, harvest yesterday was 33,000 for a total of 437,200. Escapement was 11,200 for a cumulative of 91,000, moving steadily toward its lower end goal of 120,000 sockeye. Over to the east side now, Igigik had the biggest catch in the bay yesterday with 320,000 fish for a total of 13.5 million. Escapement was 61,200, pushing the cumulative further past its upper end goal of 2 million. The total is now 2.1 million. The total runs for Igigik and the Naknek-Cuijack are almost equal. Igigik is at 15.72 million, while the Naknek-Cuijack is at 15.71. The Naknek-Cuijack hauled in 110,000 fish yesterday for a total of 10.5 million. That's about 3 million more than the projected harvest. District-wide escapement was 398,000 for a total of 4.8 million. The Naknek River is still pushing past its upper end goal escapement of 2 million. The tower counted 118,900 fish yesterday for a total of 2.6 million. The Cuijack looks like it will end up meeting its minimum escapement goal of 2 million. The in-river estimate is 400,000. Escapement there yesterday was 195,000 for a total of 1.6 million. The Alaknek counted 84,100 fish yesterday for a total of 551,200, well past the minimum there. Ugashik had its last opener on July 8th. That hauled in an above-average haul, but they haven't fished since. Cumulative harvest remains at 324,600. Escapement yesterday was 36,000 for a total of 176,600. That's more than 300,000 short of the minimum goal of 500,000. The in-river estimate for Ugashik is 250,000, and the total run is now 751,300. 14,600 fish escaped past the Chinook Weir yesterday for a total of 433,000. Escapement objectives for the early run are between 350,000 and 440,000. For the late run, they are 70 to 140,000. The early run is estimated at 304,000, and the late run is estimated at 143,000 based on genetic sampling. Down the peninsula, the North Penns Area M has harvested 1.5 million sockeye. The South Peninsula has harvested 985,800 sockeye, and the pink harvest is at 10.3 million on the South Peninsula. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in a moment.
Support for KDLG from Cummins, offering off-season or immediate engine repowers from Alaska to California. More information on a repower through Mike Fortner at 360-742-2864 or George Piaskowski at 907-750-8055.
We're back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this Friday evening. With some districts still seeing a steady run here in late July, Three Rivers have surpassed the top of their goal escapement range. The Wood, the Igigig, and the Naknek are all at least 100,000 fish over ADFNG's goal maximum for escapement. For more on escapement in the Wood River, we talked to Westside Management Biologist Tim Sands. Current escapement is at 2 million, which is past the 1.8 million high end of the goal range, but he says things look to be slowing down.
Fishing in the district is nonstop, both drift and set gill net. They're going nonstop out there, so that's the main way we control escapement in the rivers. We're doing a little additional fishing with the set net only in the Wood River. The escapements dropped off quite a bit. Yesterday we had 37,000. That's half of what it was the day before, and it was slower this morning, so I think it's basically over.
And given that the river is only over the escapement goal by a little bit, there shouldn't be much reason to worry about any harm to the sustainability of the run.
Last year we had 7 million fish go up there. The year before we had 4-something million go up there. We're just barely over the top end of the range at 2 million. There's no concern. And really, with a run this size, I think by the time it's all said and done, for the whole district, we'll be close to 18. It's not unreasonable to have gone over the top end of one escapement goal.
Over on the east side, they're also looking at escapement numbers past the top of the goal range. The Naknek is the furthest past its goal escapement, about 600,000 over the goal of 2 million. Also on the east side, Igigig escapement is 100,000 more than its goal of 2 million. Eastside Management Biologist Aaron Tiernan echoed what we heard from the west, saying that things seem to be under control in his districts.
You know, that's how we're planning on trying to control the escapement. And, you know, as folks drop out of the fishery because their season's come to a close, you know, then more fish or whatever's left, they'll continue to make it up. Right now, it appears daily escapements are trending downward. So it sounds like that return is starting to come to an end.
Despite some of the hottest air and water temperatures on record, most of Bristol Bay will meet this year's escapement goals and see an above-forecasted harvest. But as the years trend warmer, what could happen to the salmon? KDLG's Sage Smiley spoke to a couple of salmon experts about the long-term effects of consistently warmer lakes and oceans in Bristol Bay and beyond.
For all the worry and speculation about heat affecting sockeye runs on the east side of Bristol Bay this summer, every district besides Ugashik seems to be meeting or exceeding expectations. Even the Quijack looks likely to make its minimum escapement. As the years get hotter and the water trends continue to rise from decade to decade, is there a point at which we might legitimately need to worry about the effect of a warming world on salmon? First, a caveat.
When you try and predict what's going to happen, in an ecosystem, things just get complicated.
That's Jerry Bartholomew, director of the Aquatic Animal Health Laboratory at Oregon State University. Trying to peer into the future of Bristol Bay salmon is a bit of a shot in the dark. Without actual data, it's a lot of guesswork. Still, there are three pressing questions when it comes to salmon in warmer waters. First, how temperature affects fish, both in the short and long term.
So temperature has a sort of a nonlinear effect on salmon at all stages of the life cycle.
That's Daniel Schindler, a professor at the University of Washington School of Aquatic and Fisheries Sciences and principal investigator for their Alaska Salmon Program. He says that warmer temperatures have actually increased survival rates among salmon.
One observation that has become very clear is that because juvenile salmon are growing faster in freshwater, they're actually spending less time in the lakes before they migrate to the ocean.
Schindler says the record-breaking runs of the past few years are likely due to the fact that warmer water has increased the survival rates of salmon smolt, because warm water increases food supplies for the young salmon. Second issue, studies conducted in the United Kingdom have found that parasites can grow up to 4 times as quickly in warmer waters, and Bristol Bay fishermen have talked in recent years about higher incidences of parasites in local salmon.
But the data that we've looked at from Bristol Bay do not suggest that's the case.
One of Schindler's students recently looked at parasite infestation data from smolt leaving Bristol Bay rivers in 2010 and compared it to data from the 1950s, finding almost no difference in the number of incidences of parasite infestation. This isn't to say that there aren't parasites around, or that there won't be more as the water gets warmer, but Schindler says that at this point, research just doesn't show that steadily warming waters have ballooned the parasite populations. Finally, fish diseases can be very temperature dependent. Jerry Bartholomew is a fish disease expert.
So if the temperatures are warm enough that the fish are going to migrate to a certain area and then congregate, that has potential to increase disease risk because you have fish massing within an area. And if you have pathogens that are transmitted from one fish to another, that increases that potential.
There are a multitude of factors that affect the spread of fish disease, and each of those factors is slightly different in each different watershed and river system.
You know, I certainly wouldn't say that every time you see a temperature increase, you have a disease outbreak.
It's a tough job trying to get scientists to speculate about the future because their bread and butter is data and observable fact. Here's Schindler's take.
Yeah, it's really clear from the data collected the last 50 to 70 years that the recent warming trend has translated into increased salmon abundance. Of course, the concern is where do you tip off the other side and do waters become too warm for salmon and their abundance starts to decline? We have not yet seen that, even in these last few very warm years that have been observed in Bristol Bay.
In his estimation, only time will tell what's too hot for salmon.
The emergence of whirling disease in Alberta, Canada, has been probably a good demonstration of what we're looking for toward.
Again, Oregon State University's Jerry Bartholomew. Although Bristol Bay may be different, she says we can draw conclusions from other places that have warmed and seen changes to their salmon populations.
They had a warm, dry period of a number of years in that region and had never seen clinical whirling disease, and in fact didn't even think that it was present in Canada. I think that's what we're looking toward in the future, is seeing things that may have been there at very low levels, or that habitats may now be permissive to things that weren't there before.
Salmon diseases can be more deadly in changing aquatic environments, but so far that hasn't been the case in Bristol Bay. For the time being, scientists are reticent to say too much about what might happen as things get hotter. They know that when things get too hot for salmon, in the upper 70s Fahrenheit, they start to physiologically break down. But Bristol Bay hasn't reached that point yet. Just as fisheries around Alaska are still discovering the effects of the unusual warming event of 2014 in the Pacific, also known as the Blob, Bristol Bay may not see the effects of this abnormally warm summer for years to come. It's up in the air, or rather, down in the water. In Naknek, I'm Sage Smiley.
In May, the U.S. proposed increasing tariffs on Chinese goods, an annual trade value of $300 billion. Under the list of impacted products was Alaska seafood, processed in China and sent back to the U.S. Alaska seafood exports to China in 2017 were worth $988 million, according to an estimate from the McDowell Group. At the G20 summit last month, the U.S. and China agreed to negotiate. That meant the U.S. suspended its threat of tariffs on Chinese goods, but neither President Donald Trump nor President Xi Jinping offered a clear path toward reducing tariffs between the two countries. Back in June, Silver Bay Seafoods had submitted comments in strong opposition to the proposed U.S. tariffs on China, which it said would negatively affect Alaska processors. I spoke with Rob Zuanich, a managing partner of Silver Bay Seafoods, about his perspective on where Alaska seafood stands. Do you feel a little bit more secure about the trade situation now between the U.S. and China?
I think the fact that it was delayed is, you know, can have to be viewed as positive, but I'm not I'm not at all at ease. You still have China with high tariffs on U.S. seafood. That's still there, and you still have the threat of the U.S. imposing tariffs on Chinese-made goods, i.e., secondarily processed Alaska salmon. So, no, I'm not at ease at all.
China imposed a 25% tariff on U.S. goods last July, and then the U.S. retaliated. There's been a lot of back and forth. Have you seen a shift in seafood trade in the year since those tariffs went into effect? Did that have an impact on processors?
Yeah, it is having an impact. It's just results in a lower price that we can charge to sell our product to China.
Mm-hmm.
And that just moves through the entire, salmon business. Our company also sells a large volume of California squid. China is the major market, and those tariffs are really hurting right now. So, yeah, those Chinese tariffs just make it harder for Alaska seafood to penetrate the Chinese market, whether it be for domestic consumption in China or for reprocessing.
Can you give me a sense of how much Bristol Bay salmon is sent to China for secondary processing, either in general or for your company in particular?
It's very low. For Silver Bay in particular, I think it's zero. You know, we produce a lot of fillets in our Naknek plant that are consumed in the U.S., and most of our headed and gutted sockeye are going to Japan or Europe. I think that's the case for most of the other companies in operating the bay as well. So it does not have a large impact.
So really, Bristol Bay, it could potentially have an impact on business partners abroad. In the immediate, it's really not having a huge impact on Bristol Bay prices.
No. But as far as wanting to sell Bristol Bay salmon into China, which I think would be a good thing, we're facing that current tariff that, as you noted, was put in 2018. So it's not perfect, but relatively, if I had to be a species of salmon in Alaska, right now sockeye is the one that's least impacted by the tariffs.
What are some of the species that are more impacted?
It's largely the pink salmon and chum salmon. Those are kind of your relatively lower value species. And so labor costs become more critical, and that's why the fish is sent to China, because the labor costs are so much less.
I know that the South Peninsula has been seeing a huge pink harvest. I know it's over 10 million now.
Yeah, our boats are harvesting a fair number of those pink salmon, of that 10 million that's been caught to date.
And those fish are being sent over to China, or some of them are?
They could. I think, you know, we'll just see how it plays out. But that's certainly been where, over the last 5 years, a lot of salmon have gone. But overall, you know, the pink runs don't look strong in Alaska, with the exception of the peninsula. Canning might take up more of these fish than usual. So it's just kind of a moving target right now. Obviously, if they're canned, they're canned in the U.S., and the tariff doesn't really have any impact then.
When processors decide where to send the fish for secondary processing, is it purely an economic decision, or is processing capacity a factor as well?
It's all based on economics. Yeah, the capacity issue is kind of separate. I mean, it can't be exported to China unless it's processed to some degree. But no one in Alaska is set up to do secondary processing at the level it's done in China.
Can you give me an idea of what that looks like, what that level is? Is it just a numbers
game? Yeah, there. I mean, those fish are, let's say you take a pink salmon, it's thawed, and then it's filleted, and then pin bones removed, fins and tails removed, and then it could be skinned and then cut into portions and vacuum packed. So a lot of steps, a lot of hand labor, and a lot of volume. And no one's doing that in Alaska now.
Rob Zwanich, thanks for talking with me today.
All right, thanks for the inquiry.
That just about wraps things up for tonight's show. In the Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast, there is a small craft advisory. Tonight, a west wind at 25 knots, seas at 7 feet and patchy fog. Tomorrow, a northwest wind at 20 knots, seas at 6 feet and patchy fog. And tomorrow night, a west wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet, patchy fog continuing. If you have suggestions or corrections for the fish report, we want to hear from you. Please let us know by sending an email to fish@kdlg.org or calling us at 842-5281. If you've got a message to the fleet, send it to the same place, fish@kdlg.org, or give us a ring, 842-5281. We can only do what we do because generous folks like yourselves make donations and keep our lights on. Feel free to call in to 842-5281 or go to our website, kdlg.org, anytime to make a pledge. We're going to have a table at the Fishtival Bazaar in Naknek tomorrow, so you can also make a donation right there in Naknek if you're at the festival. We're going to close things out with some messages to the fleet. Shout out to Raleigh. We miss him and need him from the girls at the Harbor Market Santa Barbara. This one goes out to Hunter Davis on the Linda Kay. Happy birthday, love. I hope you had a very fishy birthday today, and I wish I could have spent it with you. Missing and loving you always. Your girl on shore, Aubrey Arevalo. It's from Fort Bragg, California. For our fishing song today, we've got Old Town Road by Lil Nas X for Jeff of the Montana Cowboys. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.
Take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Riding on a tractor, lean all in my blood. Cheated on my baby, you can go and ask me. My life is a movie, bull riding in boobies. Cowboy hat from Gucci, Wrangler on my booty. Can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me.